Phoenix was one of more than 200 communities that put in a bid to attract Amazon's HQ2. The winner is expected to receive a huge economic jolt with thousands of jobs and potentially billions of dollars. There are concerns about complications the company could bring, but the positives are expected to far outweigh the negatives. Seattle, home to Amazon, can attest to that. Seattle Times columnist John Talton can too, and he's with me to provide perspectives on how Seattle's economy compares with Phoenix's and how attracting Amazon's HQ2 here could impact that. Talton was also a business columnist for the Arizona Republic. So, John, now the bids are in, but what do you think Phoenix should have focused on in its proposal?
Well, put it at Park Central so that you're in the heart of Midtown and you have plenty of available land to build on, and you're on light rail, and you have a bit of an urban vibe, and you're close to an ASU campus. Because this is not going to be a play that goes to an office park, if Amazon is being honest. It's going to go to a city that has a great urban vibe, that has great mass transit, and so that would be my advice to Phoenix. But be realistic. It's going to go to a very high-quality center city kind of city, maybe a Denver, maybe a Dallas, or even Fort Worth. Boston could be in play, even Baltimore. They're not going to go out into a suburb if Amazon is being honest. But the other thing is the incentives. And Arizona is typically not willing to give big incentives, and so it tends to lose things. You've also got to have a lot of techies, a lot of high-end software engineers, and Phoenix does not have that.
What has Amazon brought to Seattle?
Well, Amazon is the biggest manifestation of Seattle's very diverse but increasingly tech-heavy economy. So they talk about big tech. There's five companies. Two of those are in or around Seattle: Amazon and Microsoft. Seattle benefited from Amazon putting a headquarters campus right downtown in this old parking lot and used car dealership neighborhood, and then building these skyscrapers and 45,000 employees. And they just keep growing and growing and growing there. But it's not just Amazon, because Seattle has all of the amenities that the high-end tech workers want, but it's cheaper than the Bay Area. And so in Seattle, around Seattle, you have Facebook, you have Google, you have all of them. And again, these are not call center jobs. These are high-end development jobs. I call it the headwater of technology. But you have other big tech companies based there too. Of course, Microsoft, Zillow. You've got F5 Networks, which is kind of the bones of the internet. But then you have a port, and you have major headquarters like Starbucks. Seattle has changed enormously because it's grown a lot in population within its 84 square miles. It's a very dense city. And this has brought a lot of complaining from some Seattle natives who want to say Amazon's ruined Seattle. And I just think you don't get out much, because a place like Phoenix or Dayton, Ohio would kill for what you're complaining about. To be sure, Seattle had a chance to have a mostly federal-funded subway in 1970, and they voted it down, thinking that if they didn't build that, it wouldn't grow. And of course it did, and now they're building light rail, but they're actually behind Phoenix on that. But I'll tell you, more than half of Seattle workers take transit in from the suburbs, and a very large percentage of Amazon workers walk to work. Amazon's headquarters begins two blocks from where I live.
So, chicken or egg question now. Does a vibe create sort of the want to, in the sense of a Seattle versus a Phoenix? If we're talking about something deeper than just the most important thing, which is where can people find work, but does Phoenix have this reputation, or whether it's poor K-12 or whether it's transient population, whatever it is, could people come and shape Phoenix into something that Seattle is, that Austin is, or does that have to come from the top down?
That's a fascinating question. There is a phenomenon called the Big Short, which is based on a book by a guy named Bill Bishop, and it is basically about people who are clustering ever increasingly in states and cities with other people like them. And so in Phoenix, for instance, I'm considered a wild-eyed socialist. And in Seattle, I'm considered a reactionary corporate shill. And so Phoenix continues to move. Phoenix, you know, in central Phoenix is a blue place, tolerant place. I wish people could see my Phoenix more. But when you're looking at Arizona and the metro area, you're looking at a very, very conservative place. This holds the state back because you get what you pay for. And if you don't pay for K-12 and you don't fund the universities and you don't fund infrastructure beyond just freeways for real estate plays, then you're not going to be playing up in the big leagues. In a Denver or a Portland or a Seattle, you have the option, although they have these suburban spaces too, but you can walk to work. You can actually take mass transit to work, and you can have that relationship and have what Richard Florida, the urbanist, calls creative friction. So in downtown Seattle, people from all these different companies are walking around and kind of talking to each other and sharing ideas and getting jazzed, and it really makes a difference for the creative class.
Let's go back to transit. Glendale has recently come out saying, we don't want light rail. Scottsdale had previously said that. What do you make of light rail's future here if Glendale and Scottsdale, for example, don't want it?
In metropolitan Phoenix, we have this hard divide, and it's basically a partisan divide. Phoenix especially, Tempe certainly, including a streetcar, and even Mesa, have embraced light rail and will continue to use it. Now, light rail is not the end-all and be-all. We need a commuter rail system here. A metro area this size certainly needs light rail. That's for generally short-term distances. But we have the rail lines, and we have decreasing freight traffic, and we can just increase capacity anyway, to where we could have commuter trains going to Glendale and Peoria and Surprise and Sun City, or down to Gilbert. And some of those areas might even actually be better served by commuter trains than by light rail.
John Talton, current Seattle Times columnist, of course, longtime columnist for the Arizona Republic. He is also at roguecolumnist.com and the author of the David Mapstone Mysteries. John, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Steve.